Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, on demand via the Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now, as we digest the Fed's latest decision or non-decision, we head over to the United States this morning, where Tim Courtney, CIO of Accenture Wealth Advisors, joins us this morning. He is a registered independent advisor, or the company is, and they oversee $1.7 billion in assets. A very warm welcome to Bloomberg Radio this morning. The Fed, talking about the slowdown in the first quarter in the US as being essentially temporary. Ben Bernanke, former Fed chair, speaking to Bloomberg, saying that it will take 4 to 5 years to unwind the Fed balance sheet, $4.5 trillion on the balance sheet there. Good morning, Tim. What did you make of the Fed meeting yesterday?
Yeah, good morning. Well, I think that it's a continuation of what they've talked about really for the last several years, which is just to take things very slowly. And you know, I think what they had kicked around here recently was, instead of doing interest rate hikes, which the market was figuring maybe that there would be 2 or 3 more interest rate hikes, but instead of doing nothing but that, they talked about potentially winding down their balance sheet, but not doing both of those at the same time. So either or, maybe they might raise rates in one particular time, or they may unwind their balance sheet slowly. I think that's a good move. They did get the reading in for the first quarter, which has been slow. The first quarter has really, over the last many years, showed up very, very weak. And so I think that was a little to be expected. But I do think that they're taking the right approach in winnowing down that balance sheet, which was at $800 billion. Before 2008, and ballooned, you know, to over $4.5 trillion. They need to work that down. They see that as a potential cause of inflation. They've been getting some readings that inflation are a little bit higher than they'd be comfortable with, and they need to do that.
Tim, we've got a jobs report coming up at the end of the week. What do you think will determine the Fed's next move here? What would be a red flashing light, sort of signaling a rate hike for you in June?
Yeah. Well, you know, the jobs numbers have been really all over the place. Based on different readings, you know, you've got a household survey, you've got a corporate survey. They haven't really been syncing very well over the last several months. And so the household surveys have been running much better. I think where the corporate surveys have been lagging, I think if they see some corporate numbers, some job numbers doing well, then I think that they will consider to, you know, they may consider to do a rate hike and then some, you know, some moving down of their balance sheet throughout the year as well. I think that the job number and the inflation number, that the wage number has been going up slowly, and really that's a primary component of inflation. When you start to see wage inflation entering into the system, that's something that they want to get out in front of, and they don't want to get behind that and start to lose control of that. So it's been tame, but yeah. I think if you do see a jobs number from the corporate readings that are, you know, reasonable, they're going to want to take action and not fall behind.
What about this idea of ultra-long bonds? Bloomberg's been speaking to Janus Capital's Bill Gross. He says that there's no more than a 50% chance that the Treasury will actually issue these ultra-long bonds. And then in terms of the premium over 30-year bonds, where do you see that sitting?
Well, you know, from the U.S. perspective, they have been keeping the average maturity relatively low, you know, at a time in which you would probably want them to go out a little bit higher from the government's perspective. You know, we follow the 10-year quite a bit, that's sitting, you know, that has bounced around a lot from two and a quarter, say, to 2.6-2.7%. I think that over the course of the rest of the year, rates are likely to move higher. We've gotten a little bit of a downturn over the last month and a half or so, where interest rates fell on the longer-term bonds. indicating some weakness. I think that basically just reiterated the first quarter weakness that, that we saw come out in the GDP numbers. But for the rest of the year, as we've seen in prior years, it's likely to bounce back higher. And so we probably see another quarter to a half a percent higher in the 10 to 30-year range.
Tim, U.S. small cap stocks got a boost after the U.S. election on expectations of regulatory and also tax reform. But you've pointed out that this is a development that has sort of stagnated with money flowing to large caps instead in recent weeks. What does that tell us of where U.S. equities are heading next from your perspective?
Yes. From 2014 to the first part of 2016, the U.S. markets were getting in, a very unhealthy habit of ignoring smaller companies and really focusing on a very narrow set of really mega cap large companies. And you're right, after the election that switched, and the prospect of tax reform and regulatory reform, which is really critical to small companies, which, you know, they really bear the brunt of most regulation, and because they're not able to influence the regulation. They don't have the size or scale to be able to deal with it like large companies do. After the election, small companies did very, very well. But when you saw the U.S. Congress stumble in its attempt to reform health care, you saw everything switch right back to where we were several years ago, and small companies did nothing. There's a lot of political risk in small companies right now if the Congress can't get these things through. And like you just mentioned a few moments ago, that's back on the table. And so I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to get the health reform pushed through and then tax reform pushed through so that that can help these smaller companies, help the breadth of the market in a much more healthy manner than what the U.S. has been seeing over the last several years.
Okay, so how high stakes then is the vote today in terms of the healthcare bill? I mean, how optimistic are you that it will show, you know, that the Trump administration could get something done? What's your view of the vote?
Yeah, I think it's fairly high. I think there's a lot of pressure on this. You saw the first time when it looked like it was going to go through, the markets went up. When the news came back that they were going to stop the vote, the market went down. And so I think the market is watching this and is going to react based on how this turns out. They want to get health care done first so that they can get the savings to then go do the tax reform, which there's a lot of support for tax reform because of the U.S. rate being, you know, the highest in the industrialized world. They need to get this done first. So I'd say there's a lot of pressure, and markets will react negatively if they fail again.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2016 Bloomberg LP.